This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to a midweek special of the Total Saints podcast. We are the weekly Saints podcast, your home for all things Southampton Football Club. This podcast is being live streamed on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram and Twitch. So good evening if you're watching live. And our podcast is supported by our loyal Patreon community. Without you, we couldn't make the show each week. So a huge thank you as always. Coming up on the podcast, Saints suffered their second 5-0 defeat of the season on Tuesday evening as they completely fell apart at Leicester. We'll pick over the embarrassing performance. And it's the final home game of the regular season this weekend. Stoke City, the visitors to St Mary's. Hopefully a good opportunity to bounce back. We'll see. My name is Martin Stark, and joining me this evening are Steve Grant, the owner of Saints Web, Alfie House, who is the senior Southampton reporter for the Daily Echo, and Glenda Lacour, who is writer of the blog League One Minus 10. Underpinned by our TSP patrons, this is episode 275 of the Total Saints podcast.
Your home for everything Southampton FC, from dedicated Saints insight to exclusive interviews. Live on YouTube every Sunday and available to download wherever you listen to your podcasts. This is the Total Saints podcast.
Now, we start, as always, with a shout-out to our Patreon community. Their monthly contributions support our show. There are four tiers, ranging from £5 to £20 per month. And aside from supporting the podcast, each of those tiers has different perks. You get access to an ad-free version of the pod. There's exclusive TSP T-shirts. There's the FPL that we run. And you get access to our TSP events as well. Speaking of which, you might have heard last week, we're going to be hosting our next live show. Now, that's not a live stream. This is a live in the pub, in-person podcast. It's going to be on Thursday, the 9th of May, and it's going to be in Eastleigh. We'll start at around 7 o'clock, and we're being hosted by Steamtown, which is the brewery right next to Eastleigh Railway Station, so it couldn't be any easier to get there either. Tickets are very limited, so we're offering those out to our TSP patrons first. They've already gone out to our Mick Shannon and Francis Benali patrons, and a third of the tickets are gone already, so if you do want to come, don't leave it too late. We're just releasing the ticket link now to our James Beattie patrons. So if that's you, head over to your Patreon inbox for details of how you can get your tickets. And we'll send out the final link to our Bobby Stokes patrons on Saturday the 27th at 7 p.m. And then I think after that it's general sale or something. So if you can't make it, don't worry. We're going to be filming the episode and releasing it as a podcast, so you won't miss a thing. And of course, if you're interested in attending more events and meetups like this in the future and you want to get involved in supporting the podcast each month, head over to patreon.com/Total Saints Podcast for all the details. You'll find the links in the podcast show notes and on the YouTube description. So Cardiff was unacceptable. Leicester was pathetic. I'm quoting Russell Martin here. We've all had 48 hours to kind of calm down, recover, compose ourselves. So what do we make of the utter shambles? Alfie, I'm going to start with you this week. A game that started with 25 minutes of relentless pressure from Leicester. Was it just as simple as that they wanted it more?
I think they probably got more courage and bottle than Saints, for sure. I think you know, I don't think you can make the argument that Southampton didn't want to be in automatic promotion, didn't want to be there, but have they got the have they got the fortitude and the mental strength to do it, I think is the question. And it's a question that's been asked quite a few times this season. And unfortunately, pretty much every time that has been the question, we've got the answer we didn't want. So, I mean, yeah, like Jack Stevens came out and spoke after really honestly about it and just said that, you know, if you were watching that game, you'd say that we gave up. It's obviously completely unacceptable. It's the worst game of the season. I think it's worse than the Sunderland 5-0 just because of the magnitude of the match, how much it meant. You know, I think Russell Martin, to the players, teed it up as the opportunity to, you know, prove to themselves, I think, more than anybody, that they could do it. They could hang with the top teams, just like they're going to need to in 2 weeks' time if they want to win the playoffs. And obviously, they didn't. The goals were, you know, pathetic, as Russell Martin said. The defending was appalling. And he said that the first 60 minutes were good. I don't think that the performance was good, but they were at least in the game as a contest. You know, they could have got something from that point. But, I mean, once the second goal goes in, they absolutely fold. And there will be, you know, some very, very disappointed people in that dressing room, I imagine. There should be, because however many thousand people go all that way and they watch that, they watch their team just be picked apart by a much better team. And we have to admit that Leicester are clearly a better team. They've got better players. I think that's the truth. But yeah, we're going to have a nice couple games now to try and get back some confidence, to try and actually defend the box with a bit of determination for once, and hopefully that will, you know, that will see us where we are. I think Russell Martin said that he's going to pick players now that are willing to fight for the club, which should be a prerequisite for a multi-million pound contract, in my opinion, but clearly isn't universal.
Steve, you were one of the fans in that away end. I mean, Russell Martin saying that for 60 odd minutes he thought we were good, and it was a tight match. What was your take on it, your observations?
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say we were good. We were all right in patches, and yet ultimately the long and short of it is we've not forced the keeper into a meaningful save all night. First half, we got ourselves into two or three good positions on the counter attack, but either the shot was blocked or we once again picked the wrong option, or the pass wasn't quite right and it slowed us down. I mean, just lost count. Like, I mean, this is I don't know if this is just a football thing in general, or just something that is built into Saints' psyche for the 30-odd years that I've been going to games. But on the counter-attack, the number of times when the ball is passed out to a winger and the ball is played, like, the winger's running down and the ball is played to where the winger is at the point of the release of the pass, which means that the winger then has to stop to collect the ball and then get going again, and just loses all the momentum. Not like the ideal thing is you put it like a yard or two in front, so he's kind of running onto it and he maintains the pace. But we shot ourselves in the foot two or three times in that first half with rubbish passes that allowed Leicester to then regroup and get back into position. I mean, another thing that allowed them to regroup and get back in position was their impressive level of fouling. The ref Bobby Madley just decided, no, I can't be asked booking anyone for this now. It was 17 fouls that Leicester committed, basically all in that midfield area on counter attacks, or from behind, where before Vestergaard got his booking midway through the second half,
when the game was dead.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, this is ridiculous. He's basically just allowed them to get away with it. It wasn't even as if they were rotating it that much. It was basically all Vestergaard, Fass and Winks. They basically did all the fouling between them. And Madley was like, yeah, this is fine. Carry on, lads. But ultimately, we didn't do enough. There were bits and pieces, as I say, on the counter attack. When we strung things together in sort of little spells, we looked quite good in spells. But it was all, we were always playing in front of Leicester's defence. And I mean, we've seen what Vestergaard's like. We've seen what Fass is like to a lesser extent. But we've obviously got experience of Vestergaard ourselves, and we know that he turns like an oil tanker.
Yeah.
And yet, not once did we manage to put a ball in behind their defence for Adams or Armstrong or Brooks to run onto and to cause them problems. So, yeah, huge disappointment. I dare say is probably a fair percentage of the fan base that probably aren't surprised. But, yeah, I mean, to kind of capitulate in the manner we did in the space of, what was it, three goals in 5-6 minutes, yeah. You just think, well, what, where's the... where's the kind of fight? Where's the, I mean, I kind of hate getting onto a sort of tub thumping thing of, oh, the players don't want it enough. And because at the end of the day, professional footballers, they go out there and you don't get to where you are as a professional player without having a huge amount of drive and self-motivation. But what that last 15, 20 minutes looked like was just players giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, ultimately, as Russell Martin rightly pointed out, that's not acceptable.
It kind of comes down to it, Glenn, that at the end of the day, they're just not good enough. And that was there for everybody to see.
Well, I think you've got to look at Leicester's team. And I mean, I highlighted the midfield last week, and Didi, Winks, and Dewsbury Hall. That's three proper Premier League players. There's no, are they good enough for the Premier League? You know, they're all international footballers, aren't they? Or Dewsbury Hall probably will be. You know, they're very good players. You look at, I thought it was interesting. I'm going to sound like I'm picking on Adam Armstrong, but he didn't do it at Premier League level at all. And against Leicester, he was up against Ricardo Pereira, an international fullback, proper Premier League fullback, didn't do a thing. Did not do a thing. And he just looked completely and utterly out of his depth. So I think there was an element of that. The only real weak part of Leicester's team was the central defenders. And as Steve has said, combination of Bobby Madley and our lack of common sense in putting them under pressure just sort of played into their hands, really. So we didn't really exploit the one weakness that Leicester had. I don't think it was too much down to ability. If it was just down to ability, we'd have lost 2-0. It was down to heart and guts. Leicester were nasty. They got away with it. They played the referee, which is part of it. All the fouls that they committed in the middle of the park, that stopped us building up any momentum. But when you look at our lineup and you see, you know, Joe Rothwell in it, you see Shay Charles in it. I mean, I've been calling for Shay Charles to play in Flynn Downs' absence. But at the end of the day, it's a 21-year-old kid who hasn't played much football. You know, Joe Aribo, good for 70 minutes, and then he's knackered. And I just thought, you know, once they scored the first goal, which was a Bobby Madley assist, I mean, I don't care what anyone says about the saying it wasn't a foul. All the pundits on the TV were saying it wasn't a foul. He's basically not got the ball, and he's got Adams on the sort of follow through with his back leg. It's a foul. It's 99 times out of 100.
And the guy's literally stood like 5 or 6 yards away.
Yeah,
he's not got an unobstructed view at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to moan about the offside because that's close enough. We don't want to go down the VAR route. So you know, I'm not going to moan about the offside, but the foul was ridiculous not to give that. So yeah, it was everything that could be wrong with us was. And Leicester was so much better than us. It was embarrassing. I mean, as I say, they've still got all these Premier League players. How do they do? How have they done that? It's a bit of a mystery that. But they totally deserve to win, and they deserve to win by as many as they did because we were absolutely pathetic. You can't throw in the towel like that. And you got quite often when we've let in goals, I've always thought this is down to our lack of cover from midfield because individually our defenders aren't bad. But our fullbacks, all three of them who played that game, Walker Peters, Manning, Bree, pathetic, pathetic. You cannot just stand off and wonder why you're under so much pressure. I feel sorry for Harwood Bellis and Bednarek because they had no chance. It was just like two men trying to stem the tide of 5 or 6 players coming in. And never was it more illustrated than that, the second goal, where Walker Peters just watches Mavididi cross the ball and Didi comes in. No one tracks him from midfield. Manning just watches him. And, you know, the two centre-halves and the goalkeeper, McCarthy's let in 5 goals. He ain't had a chance, not a chance on any of them. And that just shows how easy we made it for Leicester to score. And sadly, you know, I mean, you're looking at the fact that Leicester are a better team than we normally play against, and a number of our players just couldn't hack it. But also the sort of gutless surrender when it was close, you know, when we needed to put in a performance, absolutely gutless. But I'm not surprised. We lost, you know, when we lost to Ipswich, the next game against Blackburn, we stunk the place out because we thought we were you know, automatic promotion was dead. After the Cardiff game, I'm not altogether surprised that we stunk the place out in this one as well. But, you know, this time we were playing against a team that was in the mood to tear us apart, and they duly did.
What's the thought with Thin Downs, Alfie? Rested, do you think, for the kind of the playoffs? Is that the thought, the school of thought? Because we obviously missed Stu Armstrong as well, and it seemed that Joe Rothwell's really not the answer, limping off after 40 minutes. It's a bit of a problem in midfield now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, obviously my opening statement was quite harsh, but I was going to speak in defence of them, is that they have lost key players, you know, Bazunu, Flynn Downs, Stuart Armstrong, in the space for a week or two. I think that Flynn Downs has been carrying a worse injury than we thought, because I said 2 weeks ago that he was carrying a knock before one of the Tuesday night games. I can't remember exactly which one. And that was the reason why they left Ryan Manning out of the squad, supposedly, to bring Shea Charles in.
Because they wanted that one.
Yeah, they wanted a bit of coverage. He's obviously picked something up in one of these games. I can't remember again exactly which one. But now I think that it would have been a case of, if it had still been on, if it had still been, you know, a reasonable chance of qualifying for the top two, they probably would have risked him. But I think it's probably the right decision to try and just keep him. And even this, like, at this point now, I don't even know if I'd play him on Saturday. I would just wrap him in bubble wrap for the next 2 weeks and make sure he's fit for the playoffs, because what's that now? Is it 2 wins in 11 games without him? 2 wins in 10, something like that? They can't win a football match without him. So they need him fit for the playoffs. So I wouldn't be playing him for the next two. And I think that's probably what it is. But he certainly wasn't rested by choice on Saturday for the Cardiff game. If he had been available, he would have played.
Steve, I was just looking at the subs. You know, Russell Martin saying we played well for 60-odd minutes. And then that was when he started making the changes, wasn't it? With Ryan Manning coming on, Adozie coming on as well. That just seemed to upset things further.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit of a trend, hasn't it? I mean, there was a long... For two-thirds of the season, our subs were almost without fail having a positive impact. We've got more than 20 goals from substitutes this season. So they've had an impact in a lot of games. But it does seem as if the tide has very much turned on that now. And we've seen now in probably 4 or 5 games in the last month to 6 weeks where the subs coming on have visibly weakened us and made us a lot worse. And yeah, Tuesday night was another example of that. I mean, I thought Smallbone did okay, I thought, when he came on.
Yeah.
Obviously came on early for Rothwell being injured, or, well, injured pride for getting the runaround, possibly. And yeah, seemed to actually have a little bit of movement about him, got himself into some space. But then once we made those changes, we just kind of gave up a little bit of territory. Leicester were allowed to then kind of come on to us and step up 5 or 10 yards further forward, because the new players weren't up to the pace of it. It was quite a fast-paced game, I thought. It was a bit sort of basketball-y, bit end-to-end, which both managers would have absolutely hated, because both managers, the one thing they've got in common is they crave control. And yeah, neither side really had any of it throughout. Even Leicester, once they got into a 2-0 lead, they weren't just keeping possession and trying to tire us out. They were kind of going long quite quickly, which is kind of unlike them, really. But I mean, it must have been a specific tactic of theirs. And obviously, with the end result, it clearly worked. But yeah, the subs, we've got a problem in that now we've got suddenly that subs bench doesn't look. Whereas earlier in the season, we were kind of looking at that and saying, well, we've got loads of options there. Yeah. People would come on who are going to be game changers if we need to make something happen. You look down that bench on Tuesday night and you think, oh, that's a bit underwhelming now. So yeah, looking forward to the return from suspension of Sekou Mara on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get onto that. When we start talking about who might turn out against Stoke, there's a few question marks there. Glenn, I've seen it described as a reality check, but did it really tell us anything that we didn't already know? You know, we suspected that they weren't up for these big games, and the opportunity was there to prove us wrong, and they didn't take it.
It's like with anything, isn't it? You go into it with hope. You go into it with hope that they're going to realize what's at stake, and they're going to know that if they don't put it in against this team, it's going to be trouble. But they didn't seem to understand the assignment almost. I don't know whether whether within the dressing room they'd said, well, this is gone, so let's just get through this game. That's kind of what it looked like. And if they go into that attitude for the rest of the season, we're going to get pasted at Leeds on the last day as well. I saw a big rash of people selling tickets for that one on Twitter.
I did see a couple buying them, which I thought was even more crazy, to be fair.
Yeah, they must have got a good deal. They've been reduced from 47 to 45 or something. But you want your team to show up. You know, it's a big game. Everybody's watching, and we were just crap. I mean, let's face it, we were crap. Leicester were everything that we should have been. You know, they were bang up for it. They knew that you know, even though they've got two relatively winnable games coming up, they wanted to get the job done. They approached it with ultimate professionalism, I thought, and they totally deserved to win. And the people I spoke to from Leicester since the game said they haven't played like that all season. That was the best they'd played all season, and I was like through gritted teeth, saying, yeah, that's because you haven't played a team as crap as we were all season, who basically let you do it. Yeah, certain things came out of the game that worried me for the playoffs, namely the fullbacks, as said, you know, no intensity to defend whatsoever. And the other thing was Stuart Armstrong missing, the link between the midfield and the attack. We've got to find an answer to that in the next two games, which is why I hope that, you know, they consider giving Tyler Dibbling a run just for maybe 20 minutes against Stoke, just to see what he can do, or maybe try David Brooks there, because he's not doing much on the wing, let's face it, and we've got other options there. I would just like to see us use these next two games to try and find an answer to the fact that Stuart Armstrong isn't there. Because I don't really think a Rebo or Smallbone playing in that advanced role is really going to unlock many defenses. So yeah, there were certain things that came out of the game that, you know, we have to work on. And I haven't mentioned it actually. Russell Martin pointed out as well. Che Adams, I thought, you know, considering he was getting kicked all over the place, and with getting nothing, no support from the referee, no support from any of our other players, I thought he had a really good game. So so that's some positive, and that's a guy who's out of contract in a few weeks. And some of the other players could severely learn from that and put in as much effort as he did against Leicester.
And it was Jack Stevens, Alfie, that was sent out to do all the media afterwards. You get the impression that he's going to be, well, I think he said that he's going to be starting the game. Had he started the game, we wouldn't have lost 5-0. And you think that he's going to play for the next, what, four games it'd be?
Yeah, it was a very interesting line actually from Russell Martin's press conference, which was we didn't really need to stick the boot in too much, because I think Russell came in, sat down straight away. It must have been his 10th interview, and he knew what he was going to say, and he had some very strong words that you don't often see from him. I think he was about as severe as he'd been in a press conference for us. But I merely asked him, you know, at least Jack Stevens at the end there, making sure that every member of the squad went over to applaud the away fans who were still in the building. And you know, it wasn't taken out of context. His only reply was, if I'd have started him, we wouldn't have lost 5-0, and that's my fault. Which I thought was an interesting reply to that. And it's I mean, it tells
would
you...
It would have been seven.
Well, I think it tells you everything about the character at the back line, I suppose. But I should correct you, though, Martin. Jack Stevens wasn't sent out to do the media. Adam Armstrong was initially sent out to do it, but Jack Stevens insisted that he did it instead. So he came out and spoke to people instead as the captain. He'll play every game now for the rest of the season, I'm pretty sure. He's Russell's taken him out for these last two games, and you know, they've been without character, which is exactly what he thinks he provides. And I've got no issue with that, in my opinion. I know it's a divisive topic, and I think it maybe confused the team a little bit when Jack was playing this hybrid role. But in the day, I'd have started him on Tuesday, 100%. I'd have started him over James Bury at left back. I'd have had Kyle on the right. And I said that to people at the stadium before. He's clearly a leader. You know, I think whatever people think about Jack, he is the leader of the dressing room. He's the captain for a reason. And, you know, maybe Russell's right. Maybe they do need him right now. So, yeah, he'll play every game. The only thing that's interesting is who plays alongside him. Who does he drop? Because I don't think you drop Bednarek or Harbellis, however poor or not poor you thought they may have been. I thought they both had a good first half, actually. And obviously it all fell apart in the second. Do you keep Kyle in? We probably can't keep Ryan Manning in after that. Probably can't keep James Bree in. Do you give Jaden Magoma a go and just say these two games are maybe not at Leeds, that would be a bit stressful, but certainly at home to Stoke. Why not put Jack on the right, Jaden in the left, and just see if he can hack it? It's a different option. He's looked good up until now. But yeah, Jack Stevens will be playing every single minute of the rest of the season, including the playoffs and the playoff final. I'm pretty sure of that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, Saints need to dust themselves down and prepare for those playoffs. And that all starts this weekend. It's the final home game of the regular season. Stoke City, the visitors. Steve, it was a 1-0 win at Stoke back in October. I think Stu Armstrong with the only goal just before halftime. What are you expecting from Stoke on Saturday? It's going to be all about what we can do and whether we can get a reaction from those two defeats, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Stoke are... I mean, they're not mathematically safe, but with so many teams below them there, and I think Huddersfield play Birmingham this weekend, so taking points off each other. So I think they're effectively safe. So maybe there's a little bit of freedom released from Stoke. But they beat Plymouth, beat their manager's old club pretty handsomely at the weekend, 3-0. So they're going into it with a little bit of confidence, I think. Their headline win of the season was away from home, away at Hull. They won 2-0 up there, I think. So, I mean, that it's not going to be an easy game, but they're a side that if you can get in front against them, then I mean they're very much like us. You get in front against them, and you've probably got the game won. They don't seem to have that sort of mental fortitude to get back into games in the same way that we struggle in that sense. So first goal on Saturday is the key. Get in front early on, and I think we have a comfortable afternoon. Don't get in front, and all of a sudden atmosphere turns, and it's, yeah, not particularly pleasant.
I was going to mention the atmosphere. Glenn, I know you kind of alluded to it earlier, but Sekou Mara back from his 3-game ban the weekend. I don't know if that's going to make any difference or not. Obviously, no. We know that it looks like Jack Stevens is going to be starting. What are your thoughts ahead of this one?
Well, I just hope we use it to try and find out some things that we don't know already. You know, Russell Martin, he tends to, you know, go for the obvious option. Like, if we got... midfield into injuries and Joe Rothwell's available, then he comes in. Well, we know he's not good enough. He's not looked good enough. He's spanked a couple of goals in, but that's it. He doesn't give you anything other than that. So I would like to see some of the, you know, we're always triumphing the youngsters. I would like to see this game against Stoke is as close to a dead rubber as you're ever going to get. It's a dead rubber for us. You know, we're finishing fourth, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, slight chance of third, but I mean, our players are probably crap themselves if they think they can move up a place. So that's not going to happen. So we're finishing fourth. Stoke, it's virtually over for them. They're virtually safe, as Steve said. So, you know, this is a game where, especially in front of a home crowd, where I would really like to see, you know, one or two of the youngsters given some, even if it's only 25, 30 minutes, you know, just see what you can do. Can you hack it? Because, you know, the wheels are falling off at the moment. You know, we've lost the last two games. We've got another two games before the important stuff starts again. If we do somehow make it to the Premier League, that's a conversation completely for another day, whether we're good enough or not. We've got to go for it, and we've got to try and find some answers to the problems that we've got. So, you know, I would like to see David Brooks tried initially where Stuart Armstrong was, and maybe bring Sulemana in or someone like that. I mean, the game up at Stoke, Sulemana tore their right back to bits. Hoover absolutely tore him to bits, and he pulled him back about four times, but we had another crap referee who didn't do anything about it. So, and you know, that wouldn't surprise me if that happens at the weekend. Sulemana comes in on the wing, and you know, I'd like to see Brooks playing in midfield just to see if that works. I mean, it might not work because he's very, very lightweight. He's not going to win any tackles, but Stuart Armstrong doesn't do much of that anyway. So, you know, why not give that a go? I'd rather they did that than tried Aribo or Smallbone in that position where you know what you're going to get. So, you know, I mean, the result really doesn't matter. We'd like to end the season with a win, but at the end of the day, I can see this being a quite sort of laboured 1-1 draw, something like that. But no, I just hope we use it and that the game has a purpose in terms of we actually learn something.
The other side of that argument, Alfie, is that it does have a huge purpose, because if we lose that and then we lose to Leeds as well, you're looking at four defeats heading into the playoffs. So this has got to be a big game. They've got to go out and win this one.
Yeah, and I suppose the last home game of the season, you always want to win as well. They need to go into the playoffs with momentum. We've seen that. But like, you know, I think it feels so far away now, the idea of them winning at Wembley and getting up to the Premier League, which is obviously, we just said, it's a different conversation. But stranger things have happened than a good football team winning three games, you know, in that situation. Stranger things have happened in the past, and they are a decent football team. But let's be clear, they've, you know, up until Tuesday when Leicester overtook them, they had scored the most goals in the league. The obvious problem is that they can't stop conceding them, and I think they're actually going to be, I think they're like two or three goals away now from conceding more goals than Swansea did last season under Russell Martin. And their squad is so much worse than Southampton's, and it was last year. So there is a real problem there. Obviously, they need to stop conceding goals. But I agree with Glenn. I'd like to see a few different things tried. I think the one thing that will be interesting is that, you know, Russell Martin said he's only going to pick players based on how much they're fighting for their teammates, fighting for the club. So if there are any bigger missions, it will give you an insight into who he at least thinks perhaps isn't giving everything, which is why it's always maybe a little bit dangerous making those sort of statements. But I do actually think that Russell Martin should be honest about that. I think that he's taken pelters all season, rightly or wrongly. Certain things his fault, certain things not his fault. And players do often get away with murder, so I don't mind when a manager comes out and says it how it is. But yeah, they need to get some confidence back, need to win this one. Because like you said, if they go to Leeds off the back of having lost three in a row, they're going to smell blood. They might be needing a result for promotion or the title, and they're just going to get just swallowed by that Elland Road atmosphere, and it could be a grisly day out.
The only picking players who are really willing is interesting, because I think it might have been yourself that he was talking to. He kind of doubled down on it afterwards and said, if you question about the lineup or you ask me about the players, that's the answer, and that's what I'm going to come back to you. So he's adamant about this.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's what makes it all the more interesting. So I guess we'll see if there's any big players that come back in. They've obviously earned it in the last couple of days.
Is it a mentality thing, Steve? You know, we've got to win just to get the mentality right, because it seems to me it's another season we're talking about that has just kind of fizzled out, and this has happened for the last, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, historically, Saints have always, like, in seasons that weren't sort of necessarily down to the final day, usually obviously fighting relegation in the past, season, we've got ourselves into good positions in the league, and then we've let the season fizzle out, and it's basically got on the beach very early. But this season, there's something to aim for. It's not a case of, I mean, you can fully accept that in the Premier League, to a player, there's probably very little difference between finishing eighth and finishing 14th. And therefore you can kind of accept that they probably switch off once safety's there and there's nothing sort of higher up that you could aim for. But in this situation, you've still got promotion to go for. It's still entirely in your own hands. I mean, you don't even need to win these next two games, although it's obviously going to be very useful in terms of having a bit of momentum, but also just a bit of confidence. But basically, you've got to win two games, possibly. I mean, you could get away with not winning any of them. You could literally draw five games from here, and we still get promoted. I mean, I don't think I'd fancy that, winning a playoff semi final on penalties and a playoff final on penalties.
Yeah, we're going to forget Huddersfield did it in 2017. Yeah, yeah. They didn't score a goal, Huddersfield.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they got a goal. They were credited with a goal, but it was a Sheffield Wednesday own goal.
Oh, was that okay?
They drew
two semi finals. They drew a final. Went up.
Yes, went up with a negative goal difference.
That's where we're looking for inspiration now, is it?
Yeah. but it's no. I mean, as you say, it's a mentality thing. You've got to make sure you're in the frame of mind that you are confident of beating who you come up against, because whoever we come up against in the playoffs has got there on merit, and they're a decent side. We've seen. I mean, the Championship has been a weird sort of. We've had this sort of mini league between the four of us pretty much since about 3 weeks into the season, really. it was kind of thought that that was likely the way it was going to go. I think we were always going to kind of recover from the September nonsense. But then beyond that, you've kind of had a load of mini leagues, and people have actually got promoted and relegated from those mini leagues as the season progressed. Because if you think Blackburn, when we played them before Christmas, were on the edge of the playoffs, and you're now talking they could still go down. Whereas West Brom started a bit poor, and they're in the playoffs. Probably will end up being comfortable in the end, because I don't think Hull are going to win all their games. So you're playing against teams that have got a little bit of momentum, a little bit of bounce about them, and they're good sides. They know how to win games of football. And if we suddenly forget how to win games of football, then yeah, we're in a whole world of trouble.
I just wonder the odds on Alex McCarthy saving the penalty in the shootout at Wembley and then being the hero.
119th minute substitute to bring Joe Lumley on.
Steve, I just want to get your thoughts. I don't think I've asked you about the midfield and the conundrum. Obviously, Joe Rothwell could potentially be out. It does mean the only senior option at the moment could be Smallbone, Aribo, Downs and Show Charles. What would you do at the weekend?
I thought Charles was okay, actually.
Yeah, so did I.
Tuesday night, he was all right. He at least seemed to, after the first 5 or 10 minutes, he got a bit of awareness about what was around him, in that actually more often than not, he had time to turn. And that kind of probably gives him a bit of confidence that actually his positional awareness is a lot better than perhaps his confidence was telling him. Hmm. So I think I'd go with Charles in there alongside, and you have Smallbone and Aribo, but it's a bit stodgy. Maybe it's Aribo and Dibbling. I mean, can Dibbling play that sort of eight role? I don't know.
It's where he plays every game for 21s.
But fair enough. But the 21s is a very different, yeah, very different environment. You're up against players of a similar size and stature to him. Whereas, coming up against Stoke is very different proposition. But it'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd be all in favour of giving that a go, because we know at least that he's got the drive and can dribble and carry the ball. He's not afraid of taking on players, as we saw in that Watford FA Cup replay. And yeah, why not give him a chance? I mean, he's been in and around the first team squad for most of the season. So it's not as if he doesn't have any sort of interplay sort of knowledge of the players that he's going to be around. It's not like he's come in completely out of the cold. So yeah, why not give him a go? And yeah, I think like Glenn said, I think I'd put Sulemana in, just because, I mean, we've seen nothing from him in terms of sub appearances. So why not use him as the sort of battering ram of sort of running at the fullback and just trying to knacker them out for an hour or so. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then he served his purpose, and then Ryan Fraser can come on and maybe take advantage. But I mean, Fraser's a guy who's got a wealth of experience, and he needs to pull his finger out, quite frankly, because he's been really poor since he came back from his injury after the international break. Brooks has been kind of uninterested, seemingly, for the most part. Flickers here and there against Preston and Cardiff, but other than that, has flattered to deceive. And Adozie looks like he's got no confidence. Basically, since he came back from his injury, obviously he's struggled to get in the side when we've been winning. And yeah, now when he's getting his chance, kind of it's not really happening for him. So yeah, I mean the wide player, you could probably pick it out of a Tombola in the way that Ruben Sellers probably did last season. But I mean, ultimately, Adam Armstrong going to start, and it's a case.
Well, I was going to say, we joked about Sekumara coming back, but like, how protective are you going to be of Chalmers at this point? Does he need to play? Should he play?
He's not our player in 8 weeks, so I don't care. Play him.
No, but you need him for the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
If he's out for the playoffs, we can pack it up now. He's got no Dewey, no Chalmers.
But then he's on a run at the moment, isn't he? He's on a run of decent performances. I think the moment you take him out of that firing line, all of a sudden you force a reset, and he's then got to work to get himself back up, and who knows whether that would actually happen at that stage of the season.
I think it was Alcaraz that played through the middle last time we played Stoke. I think it was that time when Che Adams was still like on the bench and he wasn't really starting. We know that Jack Stephens is going to start, that's for sure. And I guess all eyes will be on the team sheet just to see who isn't there. I think we'll probably
I'd play Lumley.
Who isn't?
I'd play Lumley, yeah, because one thing that was very evident from Tuesday night was that Leicester were very... I mean, Leicester haven't really been sort of aggressively pressing teams this season, but they were very visibly pressing us very, very high and very fast, knowing that we didn't want to pass the ball back to the goalkeeper because, obviously, we're not as confident with McCarthy with the ball at his feet. I mean, he's okay. He can pass the ball, but there's just that sense that he's not quite in the same sort of ball at his feet ability as Bazunu. Now, we've seen Lumley in cup games this season, and he's been perfectly comfortable doing it in tight spaces and playing those little triangles around oncoming centre forwards in the 6-yard box and stuff like that. So I'd say bring Lumley back in and get us back to playing the defensive system that we want to play, because I think that having that comfort and the knowledge of that you've got the extra outfield player that you can bounce passes off and play those little 1-2s makes such a difference, I think, when we're in possession.
As long as someone has a shot at Lumley, he uses his arms and don't try and save it with his teeth like he did at Watford.
Would that be an admission, Glenn, that you maybe got that call wrong? Because I know we spoke about it a little bit last week about Lumley or McCarthy, and he went with McCarthy for a reason. If he then suddenly turns around and changes the keeper, is that him going, I maybe got that one wrong?
Well, he's given himself an opportunity to do that with his comments after the game.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And McCarthy is out of contract in a few weeks' time anyway, so it doesn't matter if he's upset. He's just going to be sat on the bench if that's the call that Russell Martin wants to make. So, we discussed it last week, McCarthy's inclusion for that game was a bizarre one anyway, and it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense, bearing in mind what's going on this season. So, whilst McCarthy didn't have a chance with any of the goals, he's not been really a good goalkeeper for us for about 3 or 4 years now. I mean, he had a great season. Was it? He was player of the year 1 year, wasn't he? 2017 or 18, something like that.
And he only played half the season.
Yeah, but he's certainly not what he was, either down to confidence or just getting older or whatever. But no, I wouldn't be against Lumley coming in. You know, I think we need to do something to shake us out of the malaise of the last two games, and that certainly would be something worth looking at. So tell Lumley he's going to play the next two games, and then if he's a disaster as well, then you've got a decision to make and before the playoffs start, haven't you? But now Steve, I hadn't thought of it beforehand, but now Steve's mentioned that, I actually think it wouldn't be a bad idea.
How's the lad that signed the contract today, Alfie? He's the youngster. Was he 21? He's not even that old yet, is he?
Goalkeeper. He's Ollie Wright. He's currently on loan at Worthing, I think, so not quite ready.
Not an option.
They've got several young goalkeepers at Saints, but to be fair, I think Ollie actually probably is my favourite of the one. But yeah, obviously you're not going to do that, are you? I mean, I can't remember last time. You might know, actually, Glenn, potentially. When was the last time a goalkeeper came out of the Saints Academy to play a game for the first team? Because I'm pretty sure
Alan Blaney.
Yeah.
What year is that?
That would have been 2005
or something. Yeah.
2004, something like that.
Blimey.
He played a couple of games at the end of the season, Northern Irish lad. Hmm. And he kind of disappeared after that.
Did he go to Bournemouth, or was that someone else?
He may have been there for a while, maybe on loan or something like that. Because, obviously, bear in mind, this would have been back when Bournemouth were fourth division.
Yeah, yeah.
He won save of the season
for
a ridiculous save from Alan Shearer.
It was a Gordon Banks-esque thing, wasn't it? That insane end of season 3-3 draw, which cost Newcastle a Champions League place, which was satisfying.
If anyone can find that online tonight, I'd love to see that. Let's do some score predictions. Go on, Alfie. Sorry,
I was just going to say the one sort of final talking point I had in mind was that, apart from the fact he's being sued for £2 million by his former club, the one thing I do feel sorry about Russell Martin is that his best 11 has never been less clear. And we're 2 weeks away from the playoffs. And that's a result of poor performances individually and just terrible luck with injuries. So to lose your goalkeeper and have that conundrum, to lose your lock picker in chief and have that conundrum. Flynn Downs, I mean, who knows if he'll ever play football? You know, you'd like to think he will, but I mean, we keep getting told he's nearly back and then we never see him again. So, you know, that's another decision he didn't need. All three of the fullbacks have decided to pack it in terms of defending. Yeah, you've got Jack Stevens, who wants to play. He wants him to play, but he's already got two centre-backs. So I feel for him in that regard, because I don't think he has any idea what his starting 11 will be when they go to West Brom on Sunday, the 12th of May or whatever it is. So they've got two games to try and figure that out. And, you know, not all of that is his fault, I mean, in my opinion. So I think he's been a bit unlucky there.
That's why I think this weekend, I think it is a big game. I think we need a big performance. And I think I'm going to stick my neck on the block and say we're going to keep a clean sheet and we'll score two goals. So I'm going for a 2-0. Ben's gone for a 2-1 Saints win. Alfie, do you want to go first for your prediction this week?
Yeah, just with all that in mind, I totally agree with Glenn. I think earlier said it's going to be, it's not going to be obviously the most exciting football match. It's not going to be very fluid. I don't predict that at all. But I think that Stoke will just not come with enough. And I think that Saints will edge a 1-0 win that won't be massively convincing, but it will be served up to us after as a bit of a turning point, and hopefully it will be.
Maybe enough. Steve?
I do suspect we'll probably just about have enough. I mean, a lot depends on the 11 we pick, whether we go into full this doesn't matter mode, although, I mean, arguably, we saw that in the last 20 minutes on Tuesday. But, I mean, if we've got a head in the game, then we'll win. And Stoke, I mean, they're a relatively poor team in the context of this division. So 2-1 win.
Okay, and Glenn?
I think it's an interesting game for the point of view that Stoke were the only team that provoked us into any sort of aggro this year. Do you remember the game up there? It ended up with a sort of 15-man brawl, didn't it?
Oh, after the end.
The game. So they were a kind of a nasty bunch back then. They got a new manager now. Obviously, Alex Neil's gone. Stephen Schumacher's come in. Stephen Schumacher had a very good reputation from his Plymouth days, having got them promoted and whatnot. And hopefully they'll survive this season with him having left. So I'll be interested to see what sort of team Stoke are, you know, whether they're a bit less confrontational than they were. But if they are confrontational still, which they probably will be, we have to front up to it. And whatever 11 gets picked, they have to, you know, it's an old cliche about fighting for your right to play your football. But we have to do that. And it's actually probably quite a good team to play, because whatever 11 go out on the pitch, they're going to go onto the pitch with a rocket up their backside from having been so bad on against Leicester. So, hopefully we'll get some sort of response. If we don't get a response out of them, then it is slightly worrying going into that Leeds game, because this team, you know, this group of players, they can play well. Whether we can do it without the key players that Alfie mentioned is still to be answered, because we haven't managed to do it all season, really, without whenever Flynn Downs has not been there. And we haven't done it, you know, we had our first game without Stuart Armstrong, and that didn't exactly go well either, did it? So, lots of unknowns about this game. It could be a boring sort of 1-1 draw, typical end of season game, but have to be a little bit optimistic that we will actually pull our finger out and win this one 2-1.
Okay. Well, if you're watching live, don't forget to put your score predictions in the comments. You can follow us. It's Total Saints Podcast on all the social media platforms. You can drop us a DM on any of the socials, or you can email us via the website if there's something you'd like to share. Don't forget, if you get time this week as well, to check out the merch store. The address is shop.totalsaints.co.uk. Loads of cool new items being added there all the time. And we're also on Patreon. That's where you can support the podcast with your monthly contribution. Visit patreon.com/Total Saints Podcast. There are four tiers on there, ranging from £5 to £20 per month. And each of the tiers comes with different perks, including some shouts at the end for the patrons in our Francis Benali and our Mick Shannon tier. So thanks to Dave Melton, Mark Atkins, Andy Hollis, Anthony Thompson, Saints in Exile, Gavin Ford, James Harron, Nikki Nicholson, Southampton NY, Drew Dyer, James Kibbe, and Mike E. They're all in our Francis Benali tier. And also thanks to Colt Baker, Dave Ernsberger, Ed Busy, Nick Higston, Phil Cook, Nick Reed, Paul Stewart, Phil Horstrup, Matt Hall, and Mark Littlewood. They're in our Mick Shannon tier. Thank you, Steve, Glenn, and Alfie. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will see you again on Sunday evening at 7:15 for our next live stream.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.